Well, good day to everyone, and welcome to another session of our Minton Williams Ministries Wednesday morning Bible study. I want to thank you for taking time to join with us and to study with us, and I really believe what we're going to be talking about this week and next can be beneficial to all of us and can really take us to a higher plane of living what the Lord wants us, how He wants us to live, I guess is the best way to say it. Now, you'll notice that the title on the notes that you've received or some of the notices about this session says Giving Thanks, and then there's an underline with nothing in it. In the next session, next week, we'll begin to fill in what goes in that blank. But this really ties in to where some questions the Lord asked me. And so let me pray, and then we'll jump into this, and I'll share with you what He asked me and how this has evolved. Father, we thank You that You are good to each one of us all the time. And You're constantly teaching us and motivating us to move deeper into our walk with You. And so today we just set ourselves apart to hear Your voice. I'll hear and I'll speak. The people who are listening, well, maybe they'll hear my voice, but they'll also, more importantly, hear You, Holy Spirit, revealing to them what they need. And so we ask this, we agree with it, and we say in Jesus' name, we will be changed as a result of what You teach us in this session and in the next. Amen and amen. Well, let me just tell you, I'm going to mention election, but this is not a political teaching at all. The Lord just happened to use the elections, two elections actually, to stir some things up in me. And He asked me some questions, really one particular one that we'll talk about today. So in speaking about two elections, I want you to know that in one of them, the result was maybe not what I wanted. In the other, it was. But that's really not important because what we're going to talk about pertains to both of them. And, you know, when He asks you questions, you really need to make sure you probe your heart to see what you've done. Because normally when He asks me questions, He's pointing out some things to me in a very gentle but firm way that I have been wrong on. And that's certainly the case with this question that He asked me about Thanksgiving. And let me add to this unusual title, Giving Thanks is not the end all. And you'll see that as we begin to talk. And I want to say this at the very beginning, and I'll probably say it again because I'm so convinced of it in my heart. As we look at this word Thanksgiving, and as we think about us giving thanks, I just want to say I am convinced that Thanksgiving, giving thanks to our Father for His words, for His deeds, for the future we have, I think that is one of the highest forms of praise. And you're going to see how it unlocks some things as well. So let's begin in Colossians 2, second chapter of Colossians, the 6th verse. Starts out and it says, As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then He says, Beware. So something we need to pay attention to. Lest anyone, and I'm reading New King James, and it uses the word cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. So let's go back through these verses one at a time, because there's so much depth in them that the Lord wants to bring out to us today. As you have received Christ. Now, as we have received Christ, how did we receive Him? It came to us by faith, or through faith, by grace through faith, and we'll definitely probably refer to that another time. So faith is an important part of this. It goes on to say, so walk in Him. Now, what does that mean? That means just the way we live our life. But what is the subject of this? It's talking about faith. So He's talking about living our life by faith, just as we saw how the just shall live by faith in our previous session a couple of times. The complete Jewish Bible reads this way, therefore, as you receive the Messiah Yeshua as Lord, keep living your life united with Him. And I like that. And made one. There are other places in the Scripture that talks about our union with the Lord. And to that end, then, let's just pause here. And if you want to put your finger there in Colossians 2, we're going to come right back. Actually, you don't have to, because it's the next two verses in Colossians 9 and 10. Listen to what it says here. For in Him, in our Lord Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Wow. What do we have in this union? And I'm saying, it's this about you now. This is talking and describing you, and it's how we need to see ourselves as well. And this is one you just need to selah for a moment and pause, and as you go back through, consider this one. It is very powerful. Let me read it to you in the Amplified. It says, and you are in Him, made full, and having come to fullness of life. Wow. And how did that fullness of life, how have we come to that fullness of life? In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you reach spiritual, full spiritual stature. That is just so full. Now, if you think about that and you go back to what we talked about with the just shall live by faith, what did we say? Well, it's by faith, but it's also by love. And we know that God is love, so love is dwelling in us. And it's also being led by the Holy Spirit, who also has been placed in us, who dwells in us. It's how we live our life in this fullness. And that is so important because it tells us that we're not just non-important creatures down here. We are carrying power and authority and the ability to draw on His wisdom. Now let's go to verse 7. It says here, we're rooted and built up in Him. Now that sounds like a tree, and often we're compared to a tree and the growth that a tree has. By the river of life, we're planted close to those living waters. And it goes on and says, well, so we're to be rooted and built up with Him and established in the faith. Now that's just not in faith, but it's in the faith and all that is it brings to bear regarding our Lord Jesus. And it, then it says, as we have been taught. So instruction is important. And here's the phrase that we're really focusing on, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, what is that in it? Abounding in the faith that we have. You can't separate this thanksgiving from faith. Now, let me read you the Amplified. Having the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him. I would say unwavering, not moved. Being continually built up in Him. So what does that tell us? It's not a one and done. Yes, it's a one and done in that we receive Him, but this continual increase in our relationship and in being established goes on and on and on. And then it says, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. So as we learn more, then we have more faith in the Word of God to build upon, that's going to provide us the promises that God has promised and wants us to have. And here's this phrase again, just as you were taught. And then it adds, concerning thanksgiving, abounding and overflowing in it, again the faith, with thanksgiving. Now there's some key words here that I want to go through in this verse. Firmly rooted. That to me speaks of a depth of relationship. It's not just a depth of knowledge. It is a depth of relationship in which we build trust and confidence. And can I say this? It's about getting to a point where we are strong in what we don't see in this physical realm, but in the spirit realm, before we get strong in what we see in the physical realm. So it's that inner strength that needs to come first. And you know, a good example of that is a dam. I once heard, and it may have been Bill Johnson, because Shasta Dam, I believe, is just north of where Bethel is, the Bethel Church. And what I remember him saying was that this dam, you can only see about a third of it. The rest of it, even though it's there, is unseen. And that's exactly what I think this verse is telling us. That unseen part is what makes that dam strong. It's what enables it to hold back all that water. And yet the smaller part is the part people pay the most attention to. So that's the way we're to be. It says established, I think, in the King James, or established in the faith. And that to me just says we're stable. Some translations actually use the word strong there again. But it's talking about what? Well-founded, not being easily moved, having that solid rock, the cornerstone, our Lord Jesus, His Word, that provides the basis for this unwavering confidence and trust that we have in. And then the word abounding, dealing with thanksgiving. Abounding literally means in the Greek to superabound. And it has the connotation then to be in excess, or as the Amplified says, overflowing with it. That's how we are to be. And you say, well, why is that so important? That's exactly what we're looking at today. Now, let me read you two other translations that I think are good. Rooted and based together in Him, strong in the faith with which the teaching gave you. So this faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You have an anointing. I believe I'm anointed to do this. And when anointed words are spoken and you hear anointed words in your spirit, it produces in your spirit because of the anointing that we both have. Same anointing. And then it says, giving praise to God at all times. I really like the New Living Translation. Let your roots grow down deep into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving. Now, that almost sounds like to me, it's just thanksgiving is a natural response to living the God kind of life. And that's, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's kind of what the Lord began to ask me. Now, before we go further, though, I want us to look at this verse 8. Beware, lest anyone cheat you. Some translations say, take you captive through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men and according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. So look at the things that cheat us or that take us captive. Philosophy and deception. In other words, false thoughts that are placed in our mind that we begin to ponder. And oftentimes we can take as truth when they're not, just because we hear them so much. A great example to that is, to me, all the things in the news on the TV. And it can be on both sides. But people just say the same thing over and over and over. And I heard a person this week say, I just believed all that was true, and I've been shocked to find out some different things. This was not as a result of the election. This was as a result of, I think, they were moved to really search the truth out. The second thing it talks about is what? Traditions. And again, these are things that we develop out of the mind of living in this earth, out of our mind. And so those things too, traditions will blind us to the truth. And then it talks about the principles of this world, or I would say the world's pattern of thinking, or their way they think, and it is physical before spiritual. Yet we know in our union with God, we've been made to be principally a spiritual being who possesses a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in this body. Now, I want to conclude these three verses. I know we spent a lot of time on them. That's okay. Reading you the message. Now, there's one part I don't fully agree with, but the overall thought is good. You are deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed in Him. Now, that's important. This is not just something we do. The Word works in us. Yes, we have to give time and attention and meditation and time praying and asking the Lord to reveal it. But He's the one who does the reconstruction in us, and the renewing of our mind is a result of that. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. Let me say that again. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject. Now I would say quit just studying the subject. We don't ever stop studying the Word. But He's talking about don't just study, but do what? Start living it. And then let your living spill over into thanksgiving. That is so good. Now, Paul warns us too in the book of Timothy about not just being of someone who studies the Word and studies and wants new revelation. James says, don't just be a hearer, but a doer of the Word. So let's go back now and let's focus on thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is to truly give thanksgiving, then we need an act or an expression of that thanks. Thanks is an expression of gratitude for the favor and kindness received. Thanksgiving, however, is the public acknowledgement, and it can be private too, you and the Lord, but it involves more than just yourself. So the Lord is involved with us. Public acknowledgement or celebration of goodness. And I think there are three different components then that we have to see in thanksgiving. The first is to remember. Psalms teaches us, I think it's 78, where the children of Israel didn't remember and they weren't thankful. We see that people talking about the new birth. They see creation, but they're not have any thankfulness and for what the Lord has done, and it doesn't produce anything. So we've got to remember what that event was or what we're thankful for. The second part is we truly have to be grateful for that free gift. We'll see that more in a second. And then we have to express or acknowledge that gratefulness. And I'm going to tell you that what you're going to see in the rest of today and particularly next week, there's more beyond it. And that's what the Lord was beginning to teach me as He asked me some questions that I'm going to tell you at the end. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I want to read it from a couple of translations. New King James says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Young's Literal says, "And to God thanks, to Him who is giving us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the root word for thanks and thanksgiving here is the word charis or charis, graciousness of a manner or an act. In other words, something, as we'll see, that is free. It's translated grace, favor, and it's also translated with the foundation word thank or thanks. So what is grace and favor? A free gift, something we don't earn, but something that He bestows upon us because of His love. Now, as thanks, what does this imply then for us? That we have a gracious attitude for what is given. Now, what does that mean? Well, do you remember what Jesus told the disciples? Freely you've received, freely give. We have such an appreciation and a gratitude for what the Lord has done that we're willing to express our thanks openly to Him. And do you realize we do that before we partake of a meal? Now, I would say we ought to pray before every meal. BJ and I have started, as we go to restaurants, we pray before we even sit down and give thanks for it. because we want everything associated with it, from the time we order to the time it's delivered to us, to be perfect. So what do we do then? We sit down and give thanks, or what do we call it? You're going to say grace. Now, this phrase in here, who gives us the victory, or in the Young's literal, it says, who is giving. Is giving is a very important phrase. This verb form is prolonged or a continuous tense. And what does that imply? He gave, he's giving now, and he will give. And this was all complete at the cross. Now, mark this, because this is another clue of what we're going to be getting into. Giving thanks and. So we're to give thanks as believers for all the Lord has done to us. Now, for some of us, we might be giving thanks for just the word, because we're just learning how to build our faith and how to receive from Him. But what we're going to see is it's our past blessings. It's the current blessings and promises that we've been maybe praying about and He's provided to us, and we're walking in them as they are manifesting. But it's also what else He's got planned for us, what else He will give to us and provided to us. And it's all complete at the cross. So we're to give thanks for past, current, and future. Now, future is a really important point, because that's saying we haven't seen it with our physical eyes yet, but we have seen it with our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart. And that implies that what? That we're walking by faith. Having that faith, knowing we're loved, walking in that love, and then led by the Holy Spirit. So the question then becomes, when should we express gratitude the first time? And I would say, when we believe, we have received. Mark 11:24. You know this one. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. When do we believe we receive? When we pray, and I'm going to add this, in faith, in confidence that what we're asking the Lord has promised to give us, and we know it's His heart, and we know He will provide it for us, even before we see it with our physical eyes. You know, my pastor, Pastor Trey Dickerson, talks a lot about the children of Israel gave praise, but they did it in thanksgiving, but they did it on the wrong side of the sea. Now, what is he talking about there? He's really saying when they crossed the Red Sea, they should have already been giving thanks. But they didn't have that understanding. But we do now. And when we see that we give praise, then that thanksgiving is beginning to produce for us. And there is another clue for you. By grace, we've been given it. But by faith, we receive it. And you know, that's the way everything works. That's how our new birth came. By grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8. Now, Hebrews goes on and tells us in 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's the only way we can do anything in His kingdom. And then it adds this, and I don't want to overlook it. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and he must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So it's not just, okay, God, I believe You're there. I believe in Your Son, Jesus, and I receive Him, and I'm born again. What this verse is telling us is there is more. God wants to do what He's told you in His Word He will do for you, and we must believe He rewards that pursuit of Him as we do what? Build on that strong foundation that we just talked about. Romans 4:16 is another verse, and I'm just using verse after verse to affirm so that we can have confidence in our faith that it will produce. Therefore it is of faith, Romans 4:16, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but also that which is of the faith of Abraham, the father of us all. Now, that ought to remind you of what we saw in Galatians last study. Over and over, Galatians 3:7, I believe was the first time it said it. That when we believe, we're sons of Abraham. He wants it, our faith that he's giving to us. He gave to us freely when we received him. There's other grace he wants to provide for us that is those promises that he said. And this is what how we do. Now, I lead all this up to say, a pastor and a teacher who I have great respect for made this statement talking about a question God asked him. And this is really one example of how I learned when he asks questions, pay attention, because he's got something really good he wants to instruct you in that's going to bring results. He asked, do you want, this is the Father talking, do you want to know how to receive more from me? And of course, who would say, I've got enough, Lord? Someone who's very selfish only, he didn't want to have more to give. And the pastor said, certainly. And this is the answer, he said. Then cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Now, there's a bunch of more clues here in what we're going to be talking about next week. But what does this indicate? To develop a culture or a lifestyle of thanksgiving. To me, it says you need to get to a point where when you pray and believe you receive, then begin your thanksgiving. And you're going to see how the Lord opens some of the doors of heaven when we do that and continue to seek him. Not just begin to rejoice because we got something, but continue to seek him first and foremost. Now, the bottom line is this. It must increase our expectation. This is one indication of it, that we just get more excited about what it says. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. To us. It must be personal to you. I cannot ride on my mom and dad's coattails. It must be personal to me. And that means I've got to understand my union with him, my identification with him in that union, and all that produces results in me as I'm thankful. The victory is the word Nikos, which is where the word Nike comes from. And it means a conquest, a triumph, or a victory. And how does that victory come to us? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we get victory, we're getting it through or as a result of his victory. All of them. And it's through our union with him that in him is where your victory is. And that's why it's so important then that my reality be in this identification in this union with him. Now, understanding this union with him is of paramount importance. This is, in and of itself, a reason for continual thanksgiving. Forget all the other promises. Being in union with the God of this universe because of what Jesus did. I mean, forever thankful. That ought to just cause it. But most people don't understand the depth, as we've seen in some of these verses today, of what this provides to us. Thanks, this is who you are. And it implies to me that he's got much, much more for us. And what do we know today now in these verses? We've seen that thanksgiving is important in that. So let's wrap up today looking at 2 Corinthians 9:10-12. Now, these verses, and even back to verse 8 in this same chapter, really are talking about some financial things, but they apply to every area of our life. Isn't that just what we saw in the blessing? It's not just things and houses and cars and dollar signs. Here's what it says. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. So he's going to supply you both. Seed to sow and seed that produces something that we're to partake of. May he supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to God. So because we've received, we've given of that, we've expressed thanksgiving, others maybe express thanksgiving, all this ties together. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only applies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding, is increasing, is overflowing. Same word that we saw before. And how does it abound? How does it increase? How does it flow? Through the many thanksgiving to God. What is he saying here? Giving thanks positions us for more seed to sow and to partake of as we have need for it. Now, this gets down to what the Lord began to talk to me about. Is this what we expect when we give thanks? And I'm asking that purposefully. So you may say, all right, Minton, how about just talking about it? Where is Father taking us with this? Our giving thanks helps us achieve victories over darkness, and it allows for the overflow of blessings to impact others. Now, that's what this verse has just told us. So the question that the Lord asked me was, now that you have the result of something you've been praying for, what are you going to do next? When he asked that, then I have to go look introspectively and said, what are you expecting of me? What should I be expecting of myself and my brothers in the Lord? Specifically, what I heard was, what is my church going to do now that you have an election that maybe most of the church agrees with? Not all do. And I will tell you, if you don't agree with the election, then you still ought to be giving thanks to God that we have a free system that provides for us opportunities, but we don't quit giving thanks, even when the answer we thought we wanted is delayed. And so that's what I really want to get into next week. We're going to look at some scriptures and see how continued thanksgiving produces. But I don't want to end without emphasizing this question, because the Lord could have asked me this same question if I didn't agree with the results. So what are you going to do? How are you going to react to it? And the reaction that we should have when we get what we want, and even when we don't see yet what we want, is the same. We're to stay focused on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what do we know? And all these things shall be added unto us. And that's what we're going to get in next week. So you can begin to get a picture then of giving thanks, and am I going to be doing more praying, and I'm going to be doing more seeking His will, and am I going to do His will? Am I going to be sowing more seed? And what do we know? In these last days, it's all about harvest time. So that's what He's teed up for us, and we'll get into that next week, and I think that will wrap it up. Thank you for studying with us today. I hope this has stirred you as His question stirred me. And we look forward to spending more time with you next week.